Welcome to the Smart Thinking Podcast. This is Ted.
Welcome to the Smart Thinking Podcast. I'm your host, Ted Knightsky. Over the course of the last decade or so, we've started to move away from the expectation that individuals produce great outcomes and have now begun to honor the idea that through teamwork and collaboration, we can increase our likelihood of success. These success indicators can be things like learning, financials, lives saved, people served, etc. All indicators of success. With the awakening that we are better together than apart, we need to be cognizant as leaders to provide strategies and build in processes in order to support collaboration. This episode is a discussion about those strategies and some surprising science behind developing relationships that will allow those you serve to collaborate and work together quicker and with greater trust. Most people are not quick to throw themselves into situations where they are willing to be vulnerable with people they barely know, or worse, they won't take risks because they are with people they know and they carry a narrative about what others will say if they do fail. Growing a collaborative culture in classrooms, offices, hospitals, or even your own home takes the work of a leader, specifically a buffalo leader. Remember, a buffalo is an optimist that charges into the storm in an effort to reduce pain and address the situation immediately. So buffalo leaders, when working with teams and expecting collaboration, have to create the conditions that would allow people to be successful together, take risks, and appreciate the contributions of those around them. There's all kinds of science behind this and team building assessments that can be taken and money that can be spent to label people. And a lot of these are great instruments to help facilitate the development of a culture. However, the single greatest strategy to develop a culture of collaboration is time. Specifically, time for people to get to know each other. This applies to classrooms and boardrooms. Again, people are quick by nature to formulate judgments, and the older we get, the faster we are to determine if the people around us are people we want to work with or not. So leaders need to create the conditions to support the acceptance of others in an effort to grow collaboration and risk. Time is a critical factor. Listen to this fact that Daniel Pink recently posted to his Twitter feed from an article published in The Atlantic. It takes about 50 hours of socializing to go from acquaintance to casual friend, an additional 40 hours to become a real friend, and a total of 200 hours to become a close friend. This is a lot of time. Some people believe that in collaborative work or learning settings, people don't have to be friends. They have to get results. If that is your mindset, let me give you some of the qualities of a friend. Willing to listen to other people. Willing to support the other person socially and emotionally. Willing to make sacrifices for the other person. Willing to give to the other person. Puts the other person before self when needed. Is there through thick and thin. Those sound like the qualities we would want in our teams, as well as our work and classroom environments. But how do we find 200 hours to grow relationships in our organization in order to increase the likely success of those we serve? Well, it goes back to time and processes when we meet together. So let's look at a couple of strategies that will allow you to accelerate the relationships, reboot relationships, and inspire greater trust. Before I give you the strategy, I want you to reflect upon how you start out any group, class, or meeting. Do you provide some time or process that allows people to be vulnerable in a non-work/learning way? You see, the key to collaboration is connections. The reason it takes 200 hours to become really good friends with each other is because you are determining what connections you like and which ones you want to build, or if you even want to grow with them. So as a leader, how can you accelerate the connections in order to increase collaboration? Well, each time you get together, do something that allows for people to find and make connections. Think about it. When you enter a new social setting, what do you do with people that are strangers? Well, you race to find connections. Hey, where are you from? What do you do? Where did you go to school? Where do your kids go to school? What sports do you or they play? What kind of music do you listen to? And once you determine if you have anything in common, you start to chat. So, in work and learning environments where we need to move quickly, we should, as leaders, create the conditions to allow for people to find more connections through process and strategy. Every meeting I lead with groups, I begin with some sort of a reflective exercise followed by time to converse. I've learned over time that people, when given a cue, are much quicker to find connections, laugh, and then become vulnerable. So here are a couple of ways you can start your teams or classes this week. One of my all-time favorites is Two Truths and a Lie. Some of you've played this and some of you haven't, so you simply ask people to write out two truths and one lie, and then they share with the team or small group, and you have to guess which is the truth and which is the lie. So here are my go-tos when I play the game. You figure out which is the lie. I've skydived. I caught a bank robber. I've been stabbed. I'm sure some of you are like, what? All right, here they are. I've skydived. I've caught a bank robber. I've been stabbed. So which do you think is the lie? Well, the lie is I've never been skydiving. But yes, I have caught an armed bank robber, and I was stabbed. Twice, actually. But not by that bank robber. In a small group, do you think this leads to quick connections? Yes. It also has people laughing, letting their guard down, and moving quicker to collaborate. Here's another one that can be done no matter the size of the group. All over social media, you see these things called memes. So take an image off the internet and print it off or post it on the projector or monitor and ask everyone to write a meme for the image. Now, a meme is a quip or a cute little saying that goes below it. So there's like a little baby out there who's got these big muscles and he's pointing up and people put things underneath there like, you got this. So ask people in their groups or with their neighbor to share their meme. And once everyone has shared, ask the group to offer up the ones that they think are the best or the funniest. Again, people will laugh, people will discuss, and people will see each other in new ways, especially those who are really creative and quiet. Another strategy is to go out and buy what are called chat packs. They are little boxes that have a few hundred conversation starters. Things like, if you could have dinner anywhere in the world tonight, where would you go? Well, my answer is Venice. And what's the most boring class you've ever taken? Well, my answer for that's British literature. But someone in a diverse group will love Brit Lit and a conversation will spark. One more. What's the most awkward situation you've ever found yourself in? Sorry, gang, this podcast doesn't allow me to disclose the answer to that question. But simple conversations that create connections and support collaboration. But here's another key to this type of meeting starter. Brain reboot. What I mean by this is that people are coming into your environment with all types of stuff on their mind, and we need to offer an opportunity to shift gears and let some pressure out of our heads or hearts. You could have just gotten off the phone with an angry whatever, or come from a class where you did not succeed, or you could have been sent a nasty text from someone and all you can think about is the past. These connection strategies have a secondary purpose, and that is to get your mind framed for the future and out of the past. Here's another strategy. There is a fantastic artist from Milwaukee by the name of Reginald Baylor. Google him and look up his art. He paints images that are filled with cultural symbols. I like to display his artwork on the projector or monitor and ask people to identify as many images as they possibly can in a set amount of time. The key part here is a set amount of time. If you tighten the time restrictions, people exhibit the behaviors they need in order to become more collaborative. His artwork is gorgeous and very engaging. And in order for people working together to find everything, they will need different life experiences in order to do it. Search for Reginald Baylor Roller Coaster online and you'll see what I'm talking about. Last one. And I just did this with our leadership team a few weeks ago to imprint the idea of the wisdom of a group. There's a game out there called Over Under. How it works is that you have a card with facts on it and you read the card to the group and then you give them a number that is slightly off of the real answer. So I play this two ways. First, you have everyone stand up and you ask the questions and have the group indicate with a thumbs up or thumbs down if they believe that the fact is above or below the number you give them. People who are wrong sit down and you play until there is a champion or everyone loses. Here are some examples. The fastest flying insect is the horsefly. How fast can he fly? Is it above or below 89 miles per hour? People think for a second and then they have to commit with the visual indicator of a thumbs up or a thumbs down. Well, horseflies have been clocked at 90 miles per hour. So if you thought it was below, please sit. Depending on the size of the group, you usually have to ask about 8 questions before someone prevails or everyone loses. So here's how I play it the second time. After I have everyone do it individually, then I play it again by breaking people into teams. Now, if it's a large group, teams of about 10. If it's a group of only 10, then two groups of 5. I ask the questions again, but this time there is one person who represents the entire group, and the group decides if they are high or low. As an example, what year did Elvis Presley die? Is it above or below 1978? The group discusses and then commits. Now, when I play this with my leadership team and other groups, the diverse people that make up each group there, one person always seemed to know the answer, and we also did not have a losing team, because the groups always have the right answer. By the way, Elvis died in 1977, so if you guessed under, you were right. This is a powerful and simple way to demonstrate that collaboration, risk-taking, and connections can be made quickly. People who only work together every few weeks were looking at each other like, how in the world did you know the distance between the Earth and the Moon? And then you find out that so-and-so, who knew the answer, was an astronomy minor but works in accounting. 200 hours to develop a real friendship is a lot of time. Leaders need to provide the time to create connections between others if they are to collaborate. Imagine if each class period, each meeting, each project started out with a 5-minute exercise like the ones previously described. You'd build quick connections with people that go beyond the superficial. You'd have team members willing to take risks faster because they just did, and no one was mocking them, and you'd have an environment where you'd be teaching others to see the contributions of those around them. The tool here for leaders of classrooms, boardrooms, and anywhere else is simple. Find a process to support collaboration by playing a little bit to create connections. No one in the learning environment or the work environment can afford to wait 200 hours to get going and build trust. There are not even 200 hours of math in a school year, and 5 work weeks spread out over a meeting a week could take up to 4 years to accomplish those 200 hours. Accelerate relationships by creating time for people to decompress and transition into the tasks with an opportunity to reflect, have some fun, be vulnerable, and most importantly, see each other in new ways. So let's do some smart thinking. Describe how you could start out your next gathering in order to support greater connections. List ways that you can engage people in new ways. Do you have the courage to create the conditions in the face of the naysayers who don't like things like this? Can you create a culture of collaboration in a new and accelerated way? How badly do you want to hear about me catching that bank robber? That's it. That's the Smart Thinking Podcast. As always, thank you for listening, and please share and post this on your social media platform to help me help others. And thank you to the Wellpennies for their awesome music. Finally, I want to thank Grace Knightsky for the inspiration for this podcast and my train of thought. My daughter loves to play these types of games and answer these types of questions. And when she was little, she asked me to buy a chat pack for our dinner table, and that grew into a constant desire for me to spark conversations between people in new ways. We never know who's going to teach us or spark us to new ways of leading. And in this case, it was, at the time, an 8-year-old girl at a gift shop that sent me in a new direction. Remember, leadership is everywhere. And it is the duty of Buffalo leaders to model and charge into new ways of thinking in order to spark change and support the leadership of everyone they meet.